of reproof, boys and girls. We might go into a little spiritual spanking tonight. I don't ever go to my children and deal with a spanking without at least first warning them something's coming. I hope you boys and girls are ready. I love you. And I want to give you some things that you might not like to hear, but it's truth. And you need that reproof if you're going to get in the way. Let me have heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I ask you to help us to have a little bit of fun tonight. But Lord, most importantly, I ask that you would help us to have a understanding of your word, Lord, that we would see your truth from your word and that we would then say, God, I am wrong and you are right. Help me to get in the way. I love you, Lord, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. I feel like I'm forgetting something. Am I forgetting something? You're right. I brought a friend with me. You guys want to meet my friend? I almost totally forgot. I did. I can't believe that. Now, this friend that I'm bringing tonight is a friend that I've only known for a little while, but he has been around for a very, very long time. In fact, to be perfectly honest, he is probably the oldest person I have ever met. Well, I can't really say person per se. And I'm sorry, he's being a little rough to wake up here. I'm sorry. Hey, get up. What do you want? I want you to get up and I want you to meet these boys and girls. Hey, don't go away, I'm sleeping. No, I don't want you to sleep right now. Do you guys want to meet him? Yeah. Okay, they really want to meet you. They've been excited about this. They've been begging me to bring a friend with me tonight. Will you please get up?
All right, I'm getting up. Getting up, can't believe you would do this to me. Taking a nice nap. I'm just doing a good time. I can't believe you would do this. This is just messed up. Oh, what's going on? Where are you taking me this time?
This is camp. This is Camp Glory. Say hi to the boys and girls.
Hi, all you kids, whatever. All right, can I go back to bed now?
No, you can't go back to bed now.
What is that smell?
What do you mean, what is that smell?
Are we at a camp?
Yes.
That explains it.
What do you mean that explains it?
These kids ain't taking a shower all week. I can smell it.
Well,
man, they stink.
Oh, well, as much as I would hate to argue with that, you probably got a point there. I'm sorry. Are you going to be okay?
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, man, that's one of the worst smells that I've ever smelled. And I've smelled some bad stuff before.
Well, I'm sure you have. Let me explain something that's really cool about my friend Monkey here.
Yeah, what's really cool is that I'm better looking than you.
Yeah. Hey, come on.
Yeah, that's funny. I don't care how old you are, I'm still got it.
Well, that wasn't exactly what I was talking about.
Oh, you can talk about how good looking I am anytime. Never get tired of that.
Well, I kind of do. Yeah. Monkey is unique because his name is Monkey.
Yep, best name in the business.
Yeah, and I when I met Monkey, I was like, dude, why is your name just Monkey?
Dude, because that's my name. Duh. What kind of question is that?
Well, Monkey, how did you get your name?
This guy walked up. He said, Monkey. And that was it.
Okay, it's a little bigger than that. It wasn't just any guy, was it?
No, it was different, yeah.
Tell me something you remember from that experience.
Do I have to?
Yes.
It's bad memories.
No, just tell me, what is something special you remember about this guy?
He was naked. Talk about awkward! And just standing there, naked, and he says, Monkey.
Do you know the guy's name?
Yeah, his name was Adam.
See, that's why he's so special. Monkey, you've been around for a pretty good long time, haven't you?
Well, let me think. There was Yep, I've been around since the Garden of Eden.
The Garden of Eden. So you're like the original Monkey.
Yeah. Why?
Well, that's pretty awesome. What's your secret to being so old?
Oh, well, that's easy.
What is it? I'm sure we want to know. How do you live so long?
Don't stop breathing. I mean, really? You stop breathing, you're dead. Just that simple. You keep breathing, hello, alive. That's me.
Wow. The Garden of Eden, you've probably seen some amazing things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some big stuff.
Were you there when, Adam and Eve, did that thing?
What thing?
They were, at the tree.
Yeah, there were lots of trees. What are you talking about?
No, not the tree. I'm talking about, the tree.
Yes, they're all called trees. What are you talking about?
The tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Oh, that tree.
Yeah, and were you there when they,
Spit it out, boy.
When they ate it.
Oh, yeah, I was there.
Really? Did you see the whole thing?
Yep. Watched it all from my tree. I was eating a banana. I tried to get him like, hey, dude, eat a banana. Bananas are better. They wouldn't listen.
Really? Why wouldn't they listen?
Oh, probably because it sounded like,
That would make sense.
I didn't learn to talk until later.
Oh, that would have been helpful, I'm sure.
Yep, probably would have been. They would have listened to me because I'm so good looking. Just the way it works. My hand is stuck in my hair. My beautiful hair, and it's stuck. Oh, okay, I got it. I'm good now. Oh, sorry. Had a hair out of place. Can't have that. Oh, am I looking good? Do I still look good? My hair? Good. Oh, okay. All right, I'm good.
So, Monkey, I was thinking about it, and I've always kind of wondered something. Could you answer a question for me?
Sure. Are you ugly? Yes.
It's not my question.
Oh, I'd be asking that question every day. Why are you so ugly?
No, I was wondering, what was the big deal?
What do you mean?
They ate a piece of fruit. Why was that bad?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, it's fruit. I eat fruit all the time.
Is that why you're so ugly? No. Just curious.
No. I'm just wondering, why was it such a big deal because they ate the fruit?
It's this simple. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Because?
Because why?
Because God said, don't, you idiot.
Okay. So the fruit was bad because God said don't.
That's right, you idiot. That was cool.
Okay. But don't you think that God's punishment was a little harsh?
A little harsh? It wasn't harsh enough.
What do you mean?
They should have died right there on the spot. Just gone dead. Just like that.
Really?
That's right, it was sin. God can't put up with sin.
And so, you don't think it was harsh enough?
No way, Jose.
Really?
Nope.
So you think God actually showed mercy on him?
He let him live, didn't he? That's mercy.
Wow, never thought about it that way. Have you ever seen, something happen to where somebody got a bigger punishment than they thought?
Oh yeah, there were these boys one time.
Really? You willing to tell us the story?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't like you. You're ugly.
Okay. All right, will you tell the boys and girls the story?
Oh, sure.
All right, so what's going on?
All right, there's a prophet, all right? He's walking up this hill.
All right, so the prophet is going up the hill.
And then these boys came by, and they did something bad. Oh, it was horrible.
Oh, did they try killing him?
No.
Oh.
Would you let me tell the story?
Sure.
So... The prophet is going up the mountain,
okay,
and then these boys, like this whole group of boys, like hundreds of them or something, there was a bunch of them,
Okay? They go up there, oh, and they tried killing him.
No!
Okay, what happened?
I'm trying to tell you if we just listen.
He's going up the mountain. Okay, he's going up the mountain. The boys come running after him. All right, and they go, go up, thou bald head. And then they say again, go up, thou bald head.
It was horrible.
What?
Yeah, they said, go up, thou bald head.
And then what?
Oh, then they got punished.
What do you do, like say, shame on you, don't do that?
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
He was the man of God. They were disrespecting God himself.
So what happened?
He turns around and he cursed them in the name of God.
Wow, that does seem kind of harsh.
Not when you're dealing with God.
And so what happened?
Two bears come out of the woods and 42 of them get torn up by bears.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
That actually happened?
Yup.
And you saw the whole thing?
Yup. I was eating a banana.
So let me get this straight. These boys start making fun of the man of God.
Yup. You got it.
And the man of God curses them.
Yup. You got it so far. You are listening.
And then two bears come out of the woods and 42 of them get tore up by bears.
Yup.
Does that seem like overkill to you guys?
What you got to realize is that God is serious about honoring and obeying.
All right, I'm going to put you down. Everybody say goodbye to Monkey for a minute. See you later. You know, boys and girls, I remember reading that story in my Bible. That's a true account of a prophet that some boys came after and started to mock, started to scorn the prophet of God. And God took honor so seriously that 42 boys were mauled by those bears. When we talk about obedience and honor, it's a serious thing. You think about Adam and Eve. All they did was eat of the fruits. That's not that big of a deal. It's just a little disobedience, and the entire world is cursed with sin because of that sin right there. When we talk about honor and obedience, it's a big deal. Many times we look at our culture today, and moms and dads, you know this truth. We've lost a lot of honor and obedience in America. It's not as important as it used to be. Boys and girls, we don't hold the line the way we used to. This morning we were talking about those we have in our lives that give us reproof and keep us in the way. I thank God that I had a father that made sure I got in the way. I am so happy that I had a father that would reprove me when I got out of the way. My dad was not a perfect father. My dad did not do everything right. My dad made a lot of mistakes. But there's one thing my dad did. My dad made sure I understood very clearly that if I was under his roof, he was going to command me to honor and obey. My father, when I was about 6 or 7 years old, was driving for a nursing home. This home was not just for the elderly, it was more for those that were mentally or physically handicapped. His job was to take them to the store so they could get the supplies they needed, to take them to different activities. He was the driver of the van that took them from place to place. When I would go with my dad to work, I would walk into this building and I would see and be around others that were physically odd. They had physical characteristics that were just, quite honestly, weird. Some of them talked odd. Some of them acted odd. Some of them even smelled odd. my father started bringing those people into our church. And I remember as a 6-7-year-old sitting on the side, the back pew, shall we say, with some of my friends. And my dad had a wheelchair with a young man in it, a young man that his head grew, but his body did not. He had the body of a toddler, but the head of an adult. And he gets pushed in, and I'm over here on the side as my dad pushes him in. And I remember this very, very clearly. As I sat there with my friends, and my friends started to mock and make fun of the handicap of this young boy. And I started to laugh and mock along with them. And my dad looks over his shoulder. He hasn't listened to a word until he heard my voice, until he heard my laugh. And I saw my dad take that wheelchair and park it next to a pew, and he made a beeline over for me and picked me up by my ear. And he literally grabbed me by my ear as I'm walking on my tiptoes, and he took me into another room. And my dad said, "You are never going to be allowed to speak to an adult that way ever again." And he made it very clear to me that I was going to honor and respect my elders, no matter what they looked like, no matter what they smelled like. My dad said, "You're going to get in the way, and I'm going to command you to get in the way." He made it very clear to me. He made it painfully clear to me. And I thank God that I had a father that would reprove me and say, "Honor is what I expect out of you when you speak to an adult." I'm glad that I had a father that said, when a man comes to give you a handshake, you don't give him a high five. You don't play around with him. You give him a man's handshake because you're talking to a man and you firmly grip his hand. You look him in the eye and you speak to that man. I am so glad I had a father that was strict in showing honor to others. When I was in sixth grade, I was sitting in school, and it was a special day. I was rather excited about the day because I have a summer birthday. When you have a summer birthday, that means you never get any cupcakes. You never get any big celebrations for your birthday because you don't have school on your birthday. I had never celebrated my birthday in school before, and my teacher decided that this day was going to be our celebration of summer birthdays. This day was going to be my birthday party in school for the first time. I was excited about it. We start playing some games, and we get midway through the games, and we decide to split into two teams. And we do the classic schoolyard pick where somebody picks everybody out, and I ended up being the last one standing there on nobody's team. Don't you hate being the last one picked? Oh, that's annoying. It's like, "Hi. Okay, I guess you're stuck with me." I go over to the team. That didn't bother me as badly as when the team I got stuck with then tried to trade me with everybody on the other team. "We'll take Joey if you'll just get Mike out of our team, please." "No? We'll take Susie? I know she can't throw a ball, but we don't care. Just don't have us take Mike. Please? No. You don't want..." And I sat there and I said, "Fine. If you guys don't want me to play, I don't want to play with you guys either. You're all a bunch of idiots anyway." And I walked to my seat mad. I was furious. The teacher walks over to me and he says, "Michael, what's going on?" I says, "They don't want me to play, so I'm not going to play." And he says, "I understand, but you need to get up there and play the game." And I looked at the teacher and said, "They don't want me to play. I'm not going to play." He said, "Then you can go to the principal's office." I said, "I sit here or I sit there, I don't care." He sends me to the principal's office. I am fuming mad. I'm not playing with those idiots. I'm not playing with those jerks. They were mean to me. They're just getting what they sowed. I'm starting to tie Bible scriptures into this in my anger. Oh, they reaped it. Now they get the anger. Oh, that's what they're getting. That's it. I go to the principal's office. I walk into the principal's office. Very sweetly, the principal looks at me and he says, "Michael, what's going on?" I said, "My class is full of idiots. That's what's going on." He says, "Okay, I can't disagree with you. What's going on for real?" And I said, they don't want me playing on their team, so I'm not going to play. He says, okay. What did the teacher say about that? He said to go play with the kids. And what did you say? I said, I ain't playing. Are you going to stick with that? That's right. Have a seat. So I sit there feeling pretty good of myself. I'm making my stand. The principal steps out of the office for about 5-10 minutes. I don't know. He's out for a little while I'm just sitting there, just getting more and more upset at everybody in my class. This is ridiculous. They don't even want me to play. It's supposed to be my birthday. It's my day. And they won't even let, I should be the team captain. I'm just talking to myself this way. The principal comes in, has a seat, says nothing to me. I'm just sitting there going, the principal agrees with me. He's on my side. We sit there for, I don't know, as a good amount of time as I'm sitting there, starting to get less and less mad and more just bored, when the principal all of a sudden his phone rings. And the secretary buzzes him and says, sir, Mr. Case is here. Would you like me to send him in? Oh, my ears perked up at that. What? And the principal said, no, I'll be out there in just a moment. I'm kind of sitting on the edge of my seat at this moment in time going, did she say Mr. Case? And I'm sitting there, and I kind of start leaning back against the wall and kind of start putting my ear close to the wall, and I start hearing my dad's voice. This is not good. This is not good at all. I hear my dad as my dad has just left work to come to school to deal with his son who is in rebellion. I was refusing to obey the principal. I was refusing to obey the teacher. And they didn't just deal with it. They said, I'm calling your dad on this one. My dad walks in that room. I expected my dad to be furious, but he wasn't. I expected my dad to come in there stomping and kicking and throwing things around, but he didn't. He came in with tears in his eyes. He came in and he looked at me and he made it very clear that I am not going to have a son that lives in rebellion. I'm not going to have a son that looks at his teachers and the reproof of his teachers and rebels against it. I'm not going to have it. And with tears in his eyes, my dad proceeded to beat me. I don't say he whooped me. I don't say he spanked me. That was the strongest beating I ever received. Now understand this. A beating can be done wrong. A beating can be done totally improperly. And in all culture today, beating is very, very rarely ever done in a good context. But you know what my dad understood out of the scriptures? If thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. I will define what I got that day as a beating. I still remember that. But moms and dads, can I say this? It was not done out of an ounce of anger. It was not done out of an ounce of retribution because I had wronged him. It was all done out of a heart that said, I will not allow my son to rebel. I will not allow my son to get out of the way. You are my child. I am your father. And obedience is a big deal. It's not going to happen. I am so glad that my father was strong in making me get in the way. Then I came to a point to where I had a little child in my hands. And I had to ask myself a question. Is obedience and honor that big of a deal? Is it that big of a deal? My dad was strict. Man, there were things my dad wouldn't allow me to do that everybody else got to do, but my dad would look at me and say, no. And everybody at school, everybody at church could do those things. And my dad said, no. This is ridiculous. Why can't I watch that cartoon? Because I said no. It's like Adam and Eve in the garden. Why can't I eat of this fruit? Because God said, no. My father made it very clear that obedience and honor was important. And I had to ask myself a question, boys and girls. Does God find it that important? Sometimes I should just maybe relax a little bit. It's not really that big of a deal, is it? Turn with me, if you would, to 2nd. Let's go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel in chapter number 15. I'm shortening things up here. 1 Samuel in chapter number 15. How big of a deal is it to God that young people learn to honor and obey? How big of a problem is it when you look at your parents and you say, I don't feel like it, and you disobey? How big of a deal is it when you just at your parents? How big of a deal is it to God when you just roll your eyes and mumble as you go to clean your room? Is that a big deal to God? Does God care? 1 Samuel and chapter number 15. We had talked early in the week about the prophet Samuel and how the Israelites wanted to have a king. Well, they've got their king. His name is King Saul. And God tells King Saul, I want you to go to the Amalekites. I want you to wipe them out. They're sinners. They're wicked. Every man, woman, child, every animal you find in their land, wipe them out. This is what God tells King Saul to do. And Samuel shows up after the battle. And in verse number 18, and the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me. I have gone the way. Samuel, prophet, preacher, I'm in the way. I've obeyed God mostly. I obey my parents most of the time. I honor my parents more than I don't. I'm in the way. I'm doing okay. I'm better than them over there. I'm in the way. And so Samuel then looks at Saul, who is claiming, I obeyed. I'm in the way. And as Saul starts to make his excuses, and I've brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Hey, I obeyed God. I destroyed everybody except for their king. I left one person alive. It's not a big deal. It's not like I completely disobeyed. It's just a little bit. It's not like I completely didn't do the dishes. I just didn't dry them off. It's not like I didn't completely clean my room. I just shoved some stuff under the dresser. It's not like I didn't completely disobey my parents. I just didn't do everything they asked. But the people took of the spoil, verse 21. Sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Sounds like Saul standing in the way of sinners. Oh yeah, it was the people. It's my friends. They're really bad. My friends, oh, I've seen them really disobey. I'm not as bad as they are. My disobedience isn't that big of a deal. Verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Get this, young people. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness. You get that? And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. I hear far too often, oh, that's just my boy. He's a little stubborn. That's just my girl. She's a little stubborn. Stubbornness is as idolatry in God's eyes. You might as well be putting a little picture of yourself and bowing down and saying, I love me more than I love God, and praying to yourself, because stubbornness is as idolatry. God does not look at your stubbornness and think it's cute. God does not look at a young man that says, I want to do it my way. I don't want to do it God's way. God doesn't find it cute. He finds it as wicked and as vile as idolatry. Moms and dads, you would have a fit if you walked in your child's room and you found them with a small animal sacrificing it to the devil. You would throw a fit. But you walk in and you see their disobedience and say, I don't have time. I don't have time to deal with that. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. God looks at obedience and honor as a big deal. I still don't think you've got it. I still don't think you see the picture of how serious it is in God's eyes, boys and girls. God expects you to obey and to honor. And just claiming it doesn't mean you're there. Because every single young man in here, I know for a fact, you're not obeying the way God wants you to obey. You're not honoring the way God wants you to honor. You need some reproof to get you in the way, because God expects more out of you young ladies. God expects more out of you young men. God expects more from you. There was a time that God gave the law to his people. God said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you what you would have to do to earn heaven. If you kept all of the law, you would earn a trip to heaven. He didn't give that to his people so that they could get to heaven. You know why he gave that to them? To show them, you're not even close to my standard. There is no possible way. And they would come to Christ and say, I need a Savior. I can't do it. So God gave them this law. What the law was is God saying, if you are going to hold my standard, this is what I expect. Let's see what God said about rebellion. I want you to turn with me and see what God's opinion of rebellion is. Deuteronomy in chapter number 21. Deuteronomy in chapter number 21. Young men, young ladies, rebellion is when you look at your parents, when you look at your teacher, and you do what I did in sixth grade and say, no, I'm not doing it. When you make a choice to say, I will not do what my authority says, that's rebellion. Rebellion is when I come to a young man that's acting up and I say, hey, you need to straighten up. You're doing fine. I say, hey, you need to straighten up. And he looks at me and goes, I ain't got to listen to you. You know what that is? Rebellion. When I go to a young lady and I say, hey, you need to stop talking. You're all doing fine. I say, you need to stop talking to your friend in church. And she goes, quit messing with me. That's rebellion. When a mom or a dad comes to you and they say, I need you to clean your room. And you go to your room and you look around at everything. And you say, nah. And you go sit down and you turn on the Xbox or the PlayStation. Or you get out your console. And you completely refuse to do what your parents told you to do. That's rebellion. You want to know what God says to do with a child that's rebellious? Let's find out. This is what God says. This is where my standard would be if you were going to try to earn heaven. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them. Now, boys and girls, this is talking about a son that's older than you guys. A son that's about ready to get out of his household. A son that's about ready to go out on his own. And his parents know he's about to go. He's about to head to college. He's about to leave my household. But he's stubborn. He's rebellious. What does God say to do with that child? Verse 19, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him. That means they go into the room where this good-for-nothing son is not being productive, is not working, his room's a mess because he refuses to clean it. They grab him by the arm and drag him out of the house. I'm sure kicking and screaming the entire way. I don't want to go. You can't make me go. Oh, I'm your dad. I'm making you go. Verse number 19. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city, unto the gate of his place. They are to drag him. This is God's law, God's standard. They are to take this rebellious and stubborn son and drag him out to the city gate where all the business is done, where all the people are out watching, and they are to stand there. In verse 20, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. I can't control him. He's about to leave my house. I chastened him. I've done everything I can with him. He refuses to obey. He refuses to honor. He refuses to get in the way. He refuses. And what do they do? Verse 21, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So thou shalt put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. You know where God's standard's at? Moms and dads, listen to this. How serious is this? I would rather see you die than live a life in rebellion and stubbornness. Whew. I would rather drag you out in the street and watch you die than live in stubbornness and rebellion. Hey, boys and girls, you think God's serious about this? Hey, you want to tie this together? If thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. That's what that's referring to, people. If thou beatest him with the rod, if thou chasteneth him, if you chasten him while there is hope, he shall not die. I don't want to ever get to that place. I don't want to ever get to a place where my child I have to drag. I would never want to get there. So you know what that means? Hey, while you're in my house, obedience and honor is important. God takes this seriously. But Brother Case, can't be that bad. That's just one passage. Exodus 21, 15, and he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. What, just for hitting my mom? Death. God's standard, you strike your mom, you strike your dad, death. Is God serious about honor? He's very serious. Exodus 21, 17, he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. You see, we hear this story about these boys coming out and mocking the man of God. Go up, thou bald head. Oh, that's not too serious. God says it's dishonor, and I hate it. I hate it. It's sin. It's what started in the Garden of Eden. It's disobedience, and I hate it. God hates rebellion. God hates stubbornness. Boys and girls, you obey most of the time. God's not impressed. God's not impressed that you're better than the kids sitting next to you. When you disobey, God hates it. God hates rebellion. He hates stubbornness. But Brother Case, I'm not stupid. I'm not going to look at my dad square toe-to-toe to him and say, no. Most of you aren't that dumb. I'll give that to you. But you'll turn around and start to mutter under your breath. You'll turn around and when your friends ask you about your parents, your first response is, oh yeah, my parents. Your first response when you talk about your parents is dishonoring words. Oh, my parents are so, so old. They don't know what's going on. How does God respond to dishonor? How does God respond to that? How does God feel about a child that is dishonoring to his parents? Proverbs 30 and verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. I just rolled my eyes. God says, that's worthy of you being drug out to the street, stoned, and I'm not even going to let your parents give you a burial. Just leave you out there for the ravens to pick out your eyes, the young eagles to eat it. This is God's word, people. This is not me, because I'll be honest with you. When I first read this, I go, isn't that a little harsh? Isn't that a little rough, God? You know what I've realized? The problem is that I've put my standard that my dad held. And I've started to realize my dad's standard is not God's standard. God's standard is so much higher. God's standard is so much higher. It's not that I need to be a little more soft. I need to harden it up. Hey, when we're talking about God's things and we're in God's house, you know what we've lost in our country, boys and girls? The fear of God. We don't respect God the way we used to. We come into church and we allow our children to slouch down in the chairs. You know what I say? Sit up. Show some respect. This is God's house. Sit up. Hey, you come into God's house and the preacher is preaching behind the pulpit. You pay attention. You put your eyeballs on him. You put your ears on him. I am sick and tired of watching young ladies doodle in their notepads and draw pictures in their notepads. You're in God's house. Show some respect. I'm sick and tired of watching young men chitter chatter and talk and goof off when someone is singing about the Savior. Show some respect. It's time you learn to fear God. Hey, dads, they're not going to learn that unless they learn that at home. You know where I learned my fear of God? By fearing my dad. I was never afraid of my father coming home and beating me. Unless I knew I was out of the way. Then there was some fear. I knew my dad wasn't going to let me get away with that. Dads, your child should fear you. God says in Malachi, if I be a father, then where is mine honor? If we don't teach our children to honor dad, how do they know to honor God? Their heavenly Father. If we come into church and say, all right, sweetie, you're only 10. You can goof off. You can go to sleep. I don't care. What are we teaching our children? Where is the fear of God? When the man of God walks into the auditorium and your child runs past him without ever stopping to shake a hand, without ever stopping to say, excuse me, where is the fear of God? Right. Young people, I stood in the back of this auditorium tonight as adults that paid for your way to camp started walking in the door and you about ran through 12 of them. Why? Because you have no honor. You have no respect for your elders. I love you, but it's time to get in the way. It's time to say, I want to do what God has for me, and that means I need to learn to obey and to honor. That's what God has for you, young people. God has a higher standard for you. But I love my mom. Not the way you talk about her. Not the way you talk about her in front of your friends. It's nothing but disrespect. It's wickedness. It's idolatry. I disobey my parents every once in a while. What's the big deal? Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. God says it's worthy of death. And it is. Let me have everybody's heads bowed and everybody's eyes closed. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Young people, I love you. I believe wholeheartedly there are some young ladies, there are some young men sitting in these chairs that desire to get in the way. They want to do what's right. And like King Saul, you spent this week saying, I'm in the way. I honor. I obey. Is that your standards or God's? Are you obeying and honoring and listening to the reproof of your parents the way God wants you to? Are you doing it the way God has for you? Are you obeying every time, the first time? Are you honoring with a yes, sir, yes, ma'am, every time they speak? That's God's way. And there's some of you that need to get in the way. Not claim it. Not say, I'm just a Christian, so I must be in the way. No, you need to get in the way. You need to learn to honor and obey because God takes it seriously. Everybody's heads bowed. Everybody's eyes closed. I'm going to ask everyone to quietly stand to their feet. Are you in the way? Do you take this honoring and obeying seriously? God sure does. As the piano begins to play, I invite you to come to an old-fashioned altar. And you're coming to say, God, I don't honor. I don't honor and obey the way I should. God, I'm not the worst kid, but I'm certainly not the best. God, I try to obey my parents, but I'm not obeying the way that you expect from me. God, I need your help to honor and obey. Hey, moms and dad, if your child is down here saying, I want to honor and obey, what are they going to learn from you? Are you okay with a little disobedience here and there as long as the calmness of the home remains? As long as they let you watch your TV show? As long as they don't disturb you, I'm okay if they disobey. Just don't get in my way. Moms and dads, we need to have a higher standard. We need to make sure that we command our children after us. Moms and dads, I encourage you to come kneel with your child and say, God, would you help me to hold your standard? Would you help me to make this thing of honoring and obeying importance? If it's a big deal to God, it should be a big deal to us.